Previously on the TVR show.
Omni-Man gets his two fists and hammers them together on either side of the dark-haired Viltrumite's head. Boom! You'll die for this! Grabs him by the back of the head with his massive fucking hand and headbutts him so hard, his eyes come out. Choom! Lucan, that slick son of a bitch, lands on top of Omni-Man's spine. It appears he's now paralyzed. The dark-haired Viltrumite appears to have some kind of communication piece and says into it, "It's done."
Sometime later, after that insane fight, we see Nolan and the other three Viltrumites being escorted off planet. It appears that maybe one didn't survive, and I'm going to go ahead and say that's the one whose eye came out of his head. Omni-Man's headbutt of justice. Nolan's last words to his son. "Read my books, Mark. My books." "Your books?" And you see Invincible kind of looking down. I mean, he's absolutely destroyed. But he's looking down thinking, "Read your books." And we remember that Nolan was a writer on Earth. That's how he made his income. He did travel books. But we will soon learn about the stories that he wrote about before the travel books. One of the Viltrumites with the robotic eye explains to Mark, "The reason that we tended to your wounds was because you proved yourself to be a worthy member of the Viltrumite Empire." He goes on to explain that Mark is going to temporarily be in the Viltrumite Empire. He will be the agent of Earth now that Omni-Man is gone. He knows about the retaliation he had against his father on Earth, so they're going to give him 100 years to complete the task of weakening its defenses and preparing it to be integrated with the Viltrumite Empire. Mark's, you know, still absolutely battered by that battle. He's just like, "Oh, whatever," and passes out. And we see the Viltrumites take off. The next day, Mark's Viltrumite DNA helps him to recover enough to fly back to the city that was destroyed. Mark meets up with Andressa and his little brother. Face swollen.
Where's Nolan?
Or maybe she sounds like, "Where is Nolan?"
No.
Where's Nolan? Where's my husband?
"He's gone.
They took him."
A considerable amount of time later, the city is being rebuilt by the people of its planet. I forget what the hell they're called. And Mark is helping out the best he can, using his incredible strength, lifting giant pylons. We know that it's definitely been months because Andressa is extremely old now. She tells Mark, "Thank you. This cleanup and rebuilding of the giant palace would have taken generations of my people. I wouldn't have been able to see it totally rebuilt in my lifetime." And Mark says, "You know, it's the least I could do." One of the people runs up and tells Queen Andressa, that's right, she's the queen now. All right, well, she probably was because Nolan, right? Makes sense. That the space vessel's now complete. And this is where we see Andressa and Mark butt heads a little bit. Andressa's priority is to get Mark off planet. She tells him that, you know, this isn't your responsibility. You need to get back home. And Mark's super adamant about, you know, "I could stay a couple more months and help out." But Andressa tells him, just the sight of him reminds her of Nolan, and she can't really cope with it. That's when Andressa tells Mark that his brother has to go with him back to Earth. He's too much like a Viltrumite. He would have to watch everyone he knows die. By the time he got older, entire kingdoms would rise and fall, and she doesn't know what will happen with him after she goes. Mark doesn't want to take, you know, her son from her, but this is something you got to think about. He's clearly more Viltrumite than one of them, so his lifespan is going to be unbelievable. And she realizes that more than Mark does. Well, just 6 days later, we see Debbie coming home from a hard day's work. She's a real estate agent now. She's on the phone with Eve, who's trying to check in and see where the hell Mark's been all this time. And that's when she opens the door and sees Mark in his, Roman attire. "Hi, Mom. Miss me?"
"Mark!"
Oh my God, hold on, let me get a sip real quick. Oh my goodness. Debbie is absolutely ecstatic that her son is back. Right away, he drops the bomb. The big bomb.
I saw Dad.
What?
He was there. He sent for me.
That's why the alien came to this planet for me.
Mark goes on to explain that his father was the king of the planet, and he knew the Viltrumites were coming for him and needed Mark's help to protect the people of that planet.
Debbie's like, wait, he fought you?
And he's like, no. Dad realized he was wrong, that his time on Earth changed him. And then she asks, well, what did he say about me? And this is probably like one of Mark's dumber mistakes, but you know, he's still growing. He's still young. He didn't say anything about you. He actually got mad when I brought you up, Mom. I'm sorry. And Debbie goes, you know, she's been getting better with the bottle and stuff, but
I mean, you can't break her to her like that, man.
You know how young kids are, though. They're dumb. Say dumb shit. Speak it before they think. And she just blatantly says, I need a drink. And we see her walk into the kitchen, and Mark's like, whoa, Mom, wait, there's more. Seriously, Mom, there's a lot to talk about.
Brother?
And we see Mark's little brother's already speaking now. He's able to walk. Holy shit. In that 6-day time period, little homie is learning how to speak, is walking, and he's already got some, you know, pretty nice threads. If I do say so myself. And Debbie is absolutely shocked.
Did he just call you brother?
Yeah, he did.
What? You're telling me he...
He did. He started a new life, Mom. They had a child together.
They? So he's... This is your brother?
Half-brother, but yeah.
So this woman, why doesn't she have the child? Why is he here?
Why did you bring it to me, Mark? And that's when Mark tells her, you know, these aliens have a super short lifespan. And thank God he doesn't describe what they look like. She'd be even in for even more of a shock, right? He's just a little purple. She don't know. Dad's banging praying mantises. Mark describes the time situation and how short their lifespans are and how long his brothers will be. And then he drops the second bomb.
I thought you'd take care of him, Mom.
She's like, Mark, you son of a bitch. She doesn't say that. So while this was going on, we know that the events in the show are totally different than in the comic. That being said, I thought I would change things up a bit with how this episode will go. You guys remember Angstrom Levy? I showed him in episode 1 a little bit, in episode 2. Well, let's check out what he's been up to all this time. Last we saw Angstrom Levy, he was showing the Mahler twins that he had been collecting other copies of himself from other dimensions. We find out that the Mahler twins will have this machine ready in about a week. What's its purpose? To download the memories of all of the Angstrom Levies in all the other dimensions and put them all into this Angstrom's mind, the one with the ability to cross between dimensions. He wants to be able to seamlessly go into other worlds and know what's there. You know, he could go through into another world and maybe where there's no wall here, if you went into the other dimension, there's a wall there, and now he just fused inside the wall. You know, all kinds of stuff like that. Or maybe there's no air. So he tells them, all right, well, you know, it's going to be a week. You guys impress me. I'll be back. I actually found another reality that the Y chromosomes are gone. Or that the Y chromosome was attacked by a virus, killing all men on the planet. He tells them that he's taking all of his other dimensional counterparts to this planet for a little R&R as a reward for waiting around for his big experiment. And all the women are down for it, right? They're probably trying to repopulate. I think Angstrom's doing it for himself more so than helping that reality out, if you know what I'm saying. They say, yeah, you know, it's probably going to be another week. And Angstrom says, fantastic. Keep me posted. I can't keep entire cities worth of ladies waiting. I'll be back by morning. Maybe. After the big vacation, Angstrom comes back, and the Mahler twins tell him that all the sites in all the other dimensions are just about ready and to start getting all of his dimensional counterparts in location for the transfer. Now, this seems crazy because what did I say in that one episode? There were like 28-ish Angstrom Levies in that building? Well, it turns out that that building is in a bunch of different realities. So there's like, who knows, hundreds Angstrom Levies and, you know, potentially hundreds of other sites with Mahler twins building these machines in every single reality. Fast forward a couple days, Angstrom, at the seat of this monstrous machine, tells the Mahler twins, "Time to get the donuts ready, boys." And they tell him,
"I think I speak for both of us when I say, it's been an honor to work on such a project with you, Angstrom Levy."
And they start to link the machines from the other sister sites all across the other dimensions. They pull the lever that starts to link all of the machines in all of the other dimensions. Angstrom begins to put the helmet on, and Angstrom tells the Mahler twins, "Once the connections are made, you may proceed." And just as they pull the final lever,
raccoon! Knock, knock, motherfucker!
Invincible smashes into the building. Angstrom, already under the effects of the machine, sweat dripping off of him.
"Stop him! The machine must not be stopped!"
"We fought this clown before. We can handle him.
It's been a while since our first fight, Mahler. And clone, or whatever you're called. I've picked up a few tricks since then." And we see Invincible smash into both of the brothers. And it's actually kind of funny because they act like he's not a hard person to deal with. But literally, when Mark first got his powers in the first issue, I think it was the first issue, he goes out in his pajamas and beat them up immediately. Immediately. Excuse me. Mark, taking notes from his father, smashes both of their heads together and tosses them in the air. Just as they're starting to fall back, boom, he launches a knee and a damn mega kick and launches both of the brothers through the roof of the building to outside. "Now that they're gone, I just need to figure out a way to turn this kooky machine off so that my boss can come and arrest you all."
"Don't be so confident. Do you really think those two could have done all this work alone?"
And incredibly, Angstrom uses his powers and starts opening portals to other realities where countless amounts of Mahler twins start walking through. We see some of them don't even know who the hell he is. And another set of twins say that they already saw him die in their reality. Angstrom shouts to them,
"Don't get carried away! Just keep them busy while the machines complete the process."
"Oh, we'll keep them busy, no doubt."
And all the Mahler twins set upon Invincible, and the battle begins. Invincible manages to get a couple punches off, but what looks like the biggest Mahler twin we've ever seen. I mean, this one got farm muscle. He comes up and just uppercuts him in the stomach. Invincible tries flying away. Nah. He grabs him by the ankle and smashes him to the ground. It looks exactly like the scene when Hulk destroyed Loki in the Avenger Tower. Angstrom shouts,
"Just keep him away! I feel the machine working! I can feel my mind expanding!"
"We aim to please, boss."
And all the Mahler clones continue to destroy Invincible.
"Back off!"
He does like an uppercut, and we see this could potentially be a moment like the one he had in Machine Head? The one he had in Machine Head's tower when he was fighting all those villains. He went like flip mode.
"You guys are fucking dead!"
And it looks like he does it here too.
"You think I can't hurt you? You think I won't try? I won't let you kill me? Stop fighting me! Or be ready for what's coming. I promise I've been holding back."
And one of the Mahler twins with a big-ass robot arm tells him, "We want everything you've got, kid. Give it to us. Don't hold back. We welcome the challenge."
"You asked for it." And as soon as Mark says that, he just starts getting pummeled.
He gets a serious left hit.
"Now, all at once. Don't give him time to fight back."
And the Mahler clones start annihilating him. He's getting punched, kicked, double punched. And we see Angstrom Levy isn't actually a bad person. He doesn't want his plans ruined, but he doesn't want this hero to be killed either.
"Don't kill him! I won't have his blood on my hands! Stop! Stop now!"
"You're kidding, right?"
"No! I will not have my greatest triumph sullied by this child's death! Stop, or I will stop you myself!"
And Angstrom, furious that they're hurting this poor kid, begins to take off the helmet.
"No, don't move! The process can't be interrupted! There's no telling what will happen!"
But Engstrom, trying to save Mark, removes the helmet. From outside, the original Mauler twins of this world that we've seen in season one of the show, they're just starting to regain their strength.
Wake up! I think we got our butts kicked!
And the explosion rips through, turning them to ash. In the middle of the rubble, we see Invincible.
Ah, crap! I suck!
That's it, I'm changing my name. Invincible just isn't accurate enough. He was unaffected by the explosion, maybe a little singed up. And as he looks around, he's wondering, did everybody just give up? What the hell just happened? And that's when he realizes everybody in the building is gone, dead.
Relax, they're not going to hurt anybody now.
And we see, showing up late, as usual, the Guardians of the Globe, / Teen Team, arrive on scene. Just like a blister, showing up when the work's done. When Rexplode starts joking around about everybody being dead, and Mark is not happy about this. He didn't want them to die. They didn't deserve that. Even though just a second ago he was saying he was going to stop holding back. And the Guardians decide to patch him up. Invincible jumps on to Robot's little flying motorcycle thingy. And they take off. And that's when we see, out of the dead ashes of one of the Mauler twins, a survivor. One of the original ones from this reality.
Thanks, brother. You were a big help.
And we know these guys are ruthless from the show. You know, they'll clearly use one another as like a human meat shield if they have to. He stands up and starts going through all the rubble, looking for survivors.
We did it.
He hears a whisper from his left. Poking out of the rubble, we see Engstrom Levy.
It worked. The process was a success.
I feel the knowledge of a thousand worlds flowing through my brain.
More information becomes available to me every second.
We did it!
You've got a funny idea of success.
You can't argue with the results. Help me up. Why can't you look? What's wrong with me? What?
And Engstrom reaches back and realizes he's completely disfigured from the process.
It looks like his brain is so large that it's going across his entire back and spinal cord.
And I know that the process got messed up from him taking the helmet off. But at the same time, I mean, all that knowledge, you would think that the brain eventually would run out of space and need to expand for it to work, right? Shit's gross. Let's get back to it.
What did he do to me? I'm a monster!
And even the Mauler twin that's disfigured looks at him like, ugh. Blood's coming out of his mouth and his eyes.
Tell me of this boy, the one who interfered, caused the accident and my disfigurement.
The explosion seemed to be from a premature termination. I wasn't in the warehouse. Remember? Did the superhero stop the machine?
Yes. I remember it vividly. I instructed your doppelgangers to kill him and he broke free and shut down the machine. I'll kill him for that.
And we're already seeing that somewhere in the process has become disoriented enough that he's recalling events that didn't happen. He thinks Invincible is the one that took the helmet off and stopped the process, but it was actually himself trying to save Invincible from being killed. And this is going to play a huge part in the upcoming episode.
I don't know how to find him, but he's called Invincible.
Yes, Invincible. I have knowledge of him from a dozen worlds. He'll be easy to find, easy to kill,
or much worse. Come, you're hurt. We need to get you somewhere safe. Where I can have a look at you. I know a doctor who will.
No, this dimension's medical technology is laughable compared to some. I will seek medical attention elsewhere. And when I'm done, I'll hunt down this Invincible.
And the Mauler twin is just like, yeah, whatever. I don't give a shit, dude. And before he can finish his sentence, Engstrom is gone into the other reality to seek medical attention. And Mauler isn't too happy about that. Seeing as half of his body has been, like, destroyed.
Don't even think about taking me with you. It's not like I need any medical attention or anything. Don't worry about me, jerk.
To be continued.